a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Hidney Cup gave him.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudagee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and, you know, my taxpayer's name's Robert Pilot, too. We discuss national and Twin City Native American events and issues. We all know human issues are Native issues, and Native issues are human issues. We got a little buzz going on, I can hear.
I don't hear the buzz.
Well, I'm here to save the day, and because you guys had little issues yesterday with the show, and so I'm glad in one way because you guys need me.
We did a good job.
So yes, you did. What's this show? What is this portion brought to you by?
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Wow. Hey, so are you okay, Wendy?
I'm good.
Yeah. You and Ogama were champs. It's very hard to interview a mime if you can't hear him, right? You found that out. What else did you find out?
That I could babble for a really long time and talk about nothing.
No,
so
you talked about.
To our listening audience.
You talked about apes being vaccinated.
I did.
I heard the
which
show.
Which was a very important subject to talk about because the apes need to be vaccinated.
Yes, they do. Hey, let's bring Ogama on with the news. Welcome, Ogama. I see you're a little under the weather. You had a shot, your second shot, and it's kicking your young butt, and it's good for us old people to see that. Welcome.
Hi. Yeah, thanks. It is. I've been down with the chills and shivers and, you know, just all manner of mild side effects today. I feel honestly pretty okay, and I'm grateful to have the shot and grateful that my immune system is working so well. So I'm just going to hang in there with that today. I want to get started with some info on an event that's happening, I believe, right now. The Art of Resistance at the Minnesota Supreme Court building to stop Line 3 is happening now. I don't have any updates on what's happening there. It's supposed to get underway at about 6 o'clock, and it's 6:08 right now. So stay tuned on the Native Roots Radio page as more videos come in from people who are able to attend that today. We will share them. Basically, they're saying they're going to be projecting the messages so that decision makers can understand why their opposition to Line 3 will protect humanity for generations to come. So let's see what happens with that. Tomorrow, March 20th, is going to be Tanya Abed's 35th day on a hunger strike to stop Line 3. The Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light is asking if you can to join in community in a solidarity fast this Saturday, tomorrow from sunrise to sunset, and to make sure to take a picture or share a post with the hashtag hunger strike to stop Line 3. The number 3 is the number 3, and then it's hunger strike TO to stop Line 3. So that is going to be something I'm going to hopefully take part in tomorrow as well. Coming up on Monday for Stop Line 3 is going to be World Water Day Prayer at the River, and that's going to happen at the Wild Rice Protection Camp outside of Bagley. They're going to be going down to the river to say prayers near this site where they're going to be at. It's just north of Lake Itasca, and Enbridge is poised to start drilling under the Mississippi there, thereby threatening the headwaters of the Mississippi River. So if you can, come plan to arrive between 11 a.m. and noon. The camp is about a four-hour drive from Minneapolis, and you are welcome to stay overnight at the camp on Monday or visit after the action. Make sure to wear your masks and bring a camp chair. Also happening on Monday, if you can't make it 4 hours, starting Monday at 7 p.m. is going to be Flowing in Solidarity, World Water Day 2021. And that is going to happen at the St. Anthony Mainstone Arc Bridge. And it is hosted by Caspian Worth and the Rights of the Mississippi River. They're going to gather on the St. Anthony Main side of the Stone Bridge and then walk the bridge. So as you arrive, you can you'll want to plan to walk. And then they'll be circling up and coming together for a prayer for the water and a prayer for rain. Everybody is welcome. Again, make sure to, if you haven't learned it yet, you can learn the Nibe song. They're going to teach and sing the Nibe song at that event. In other news that we're going through today, there was big news on the PolyMet side. So this is from Timberjay.com. PolyMet is a copper nickel mine near Hoyt Lakes, which is in northern Minnesota, and their permit has been suspended until further notice as a result of a court ruling. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has pulled the project's wetland impact permit after the Environmental Protection Agency requested to undertake additional review steps as required by the Clean Water Act. So basically, this stems from the 2019 lawsuit filed by the Fond du Lac Band, which alleged that the EPA had failed to hold a hearing on the downstream impacts of the mining project, which would expose sulfide ores, which are known to cause acid drainage. A federal court district judge found in favor of the Fond du Lac Band in February, holding that the EPA had a legal duty to inform the band that the project may affect their downstream waters and to hold a hearing to examine the issue, and that never happened. So the EPA, in response, asked the judge to complete the steps necessary to comply with the federal law. So as of right now, the EPA is going to review that, and it's on, at minimum, it looks like a 90-day hold to go into consideration of the public interest. It is in consideration of the public interest to suspend the permit, and that falls under a 404 water permit. So I'm really hopeful that this this retraction will help in the Stop Line 3 movement. I believe there's some 404 permits that Enbridge had to get to start their drilling here. Correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, but I just wanted to throw that out there. Other news from Minnesota, federal prosecutors charged a man from Minnesota in connection with the U.S. Capitol siege. 31-year-old Jordan K. Stotts was charged with trespassing in connection with the January 6th Capitol insurrection, and FBI agents took him into custody on Friday. And then the last big one I really want to hit before we move on comes out of Canada. So Nahani Fontaine, who is a member of the Legislative Assembly for Manitoba, or of Manitoba for St. John's constituency, is the only the second First Native Nations woman to have been elected to her position. And she was actually asked to leave the legislative chamber on March 10th after using, quote, unparliamentary language when speaking about missing and murdered Indigenous women. So she basically called out the other members of the Manitoba legislature and said that there was recently a homicide of a First Nations woman named Jana Williams, whose body was discovered near the Red River. And Fontaine had attended a memorial gathering for her, but nobody else had come. And she was accused of trying to score political points by bringing up the memorial. And she basically said, "I'm not trying to score political points," and this is a direct quote, "I'm simply pointing out that not one single member of the PC caucus has reached out to the family or even posted on Twitter, which they are so apt to do when it's Orange Shirt Day, condolences to the family. It is indicative that they just don't give a crap about Indigenous women and girls." And it was like a mic drop moment. I watched the video. It is on Nahani Fontaine's Twitter, so check that out if you can.
Yeah, Pina Gigi Ogama for the news. We finally got one of those insurrectors from Minnesota behind bars. That's good news.
Yeah, and I heard that event that's happening right now at the, can't remember where, but anyway, there was like over 350 people who said that they were going to be going.
Or were interested.
Or were interested, yeah. But that was a lot of people, though. I mean, even though if they're interested, that's... heck of a lot of people. Yeah.
That's good. Hey, you guys, great job. We're on a roll here. Up next, State Senator Mary Kunish Podine. Mary Kunish, hopefully she didn't hear that. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare. That means distant thunder, Wendy.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Hey, so as we're waiting for State Senator Mary Kunish, why don't we talk a little bit about your animal section?
My
today.
Animal section? Yeah, absolutely. So I saw a post on Facebook.
Wait, are there going to be any gorillas involved before?
No gorillas. Okay. No, but today is Fun Friday, so it's going to be light and a fun story. Okay. Yesterday was kind of a fun story, too, about the, you know, apes getting vaccinated. But I saw this post on Facebook about, you know, this time of year, the springtime, little animals are being born. And some of them, if you find them, like a squirrel laying under a tree, you should kind of leave it there because the most likely the mother squirrel will come. And I see Mary. But a possum, the mom will not do that because a possum has like 13 babies. They're kept in her pouch. Mm-hmm. When the babies get a little bit big, then they go on the mom's back, and they all hold on to the mom's back. But if the mom gets scared or startled and like runs and one of the babies falls off, mm-hmm. she won't know. Like, she doesn't keep account of her kids.
Sounds like some of the families I grew up with.
She doesn't keep account of her kids. And then the little possum will just lay there and die. Actually, they have a very low body temperature, so you need to go get them and get them in a blanket. But after we talk to Mary later on, I'll finish my little possum story. It's quite interesting.
Yes, I can't wait with bated breath.
I want to hear it. Hey,
State Senator Mary Kunish, welcome. See, looks like you got a new headset there. I'm gonna have to text you and find out what brand you got. Looks good. Welcome. How are you doing? What's happening?
Well, I'm doing really well. Made it through another week at the legislature. Today is our second deadline. So any bills that had finance and policy were supposed to have been heard in our committees. There's a lot that we haven't heard that, you know, like my bills, and I know other legislators didn't get their bills heard yet. And so I'm hoping that there will be some ways that we can work out with our GOP partners to move some of the good legislation that we're hearing in the Senate that our partners over in the House have passed in their committees. One of them today, just there was a great hearing this morning, Representative Heather Keeler shared the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives office that we want to open within the state government to continue the good work that we started with the MMIW task force. I didn't get a hearing in the Senate yet, but I'm hoping that there will be some way that Senator Limmer will hear the bill and agree to carry it over the finish line, because I think I've said this before, it has to pass through the House, it has to pass through the Senate, and once there's an agreement, then it gets sent to the governor, and the governor has to sign off on it. And fortunately, he supports it, of course, with our Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, and he has also included funding within his budget. And so it should be a done deal. It's just hung up in the Senate. I'm sorry to say that it's kind of my responsibility to get it over that finish line, but we'll keep working on it.
Yeah, you'll do it, Mary. I have most confidence in your ability.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I was wondering if I could ask you a quick question. This week was Humane Lobby Week. I was wondering if you had any constituents visit you on Zoom about humane policy bills.
You know, I know that I had an appointment with a group, but we got called into our session and it lasted a lot longer than we expected. Sure. And so I wasn't able to meet face to face with them. But I think I did tell my assistant, Sammy, that that I would be happy to meet with them at another time. It doesn't have to be this week. It can be any
Yeah,
week.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate that. Yeah, I met this morning with Aaron Murphy to talk about the bill. So I was just curious. But thank you so much.
She had to get up really early, Mary. You know, Wendy's retired, so...
Well, I was going to ask, what is early these days for Wendy?
Oh, you know, I don't want to say it on the air. It's quite embarrassing. But I did wake up extra early this morning because our cat comes bursting into our room at 7:30 every morning, like meowing and walking all over our heads. So
she sounds angry.
There's it actually sounds like she's meowing a question, like meow. Like she's asking us a question, like, are you getting
up? Why are you still in bed?
This is great radio, Wendy. What other animals can you do?
Let's hear you do a possum.
They hiss.
Okay.
They do. They're mean. I've seen them in action. They're not beautiful little creatures, but
Yeah, they're actually not vicious. They just have that hiss and those strong teeth that look very pointy, and they open their mouths really wide, so people are afraid of them. But they're really, really docile, and most of the time they play dead to avoid any conflicts.
Well, to make this radio even more enticing and enhancing, one of the things about possums, too, is they're not from here. Right. You know, they come up.
No, they're not indigenous. No. Get it?
Yes, I did. I laughed. That was a good one. This is awesome. So, hey, what? That's awesome. House Representative Keeler doing that, and she posts a lot of stuff on, and she's been a guest many times on our shows. You know, I hope she's doing well because it's a lot, you know, isn't it, Mary? I mean, you're kind of a veteran, but still it's taxing.
You know, it just, I am always just so impressed and blown away by legislators, and I hate to say women legislators, but mostly women legislators who have children, who have young children. We have legislators that are pregnant and give birth during the session and bring their kids to work, to the legislature. And Representative Keeler lives all the way up in Moorhead. So she's got some good support back home so she can come down here and do the good work. But there have been times when I've heard from her and she's just, I'm exhausted. I don't think I'm doing such a great job. I miss my kids. I don't know the information behind all of this. And, you know, I think part of my job as a veteran of what, 4 or 5 years in the legislature is to help her get through those really hard times of self-doubt and feeling that, you know, she's not doing a good enough job, or she's not being able to give enough attention to her family, give enough attention to the legislature, but she's actually doing really well. Of course, we had Deb Holland finally put in the position of the Secretary of the Interior, and Heather contacted me and Representative Becker Finn, and like she said, let's wear our ribbon dresses and our skirts, and I'll get a picture together and send it to Deb. And those are kind of the nice rewarding moments when all of us Native legislators can get together and celebrate a real victory for all of us.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting, too, when you were talking about what Heather and maybe legislators with children. I think some of the people that have been really, really affected by this are working mothers by COVID. I mean, really unfair, and they're the ones that have had to take a back seat. And because of the distance learning, and also the kids aren't going to places because they were quarantined It's really, what have you heard, Mary?
Oh man, it is a really tough, so many women have dropped out of the workforce, mainly to take care of their families and their children, or they themselves have maybe some health issues that would make them vulnerable. You know, what would happen if they were to get sick and, you know, heaven forbid, they would perish because of the virus and leave their children, you know, without a mother. And we know that women, you know, first of all, women make, especially women of color, make anywhere from 40 cents to 70 cents for every dollar that a man makes. Mm-hmm. And more women have dropped out of the workforce, which now means that their families are going to be struggling. And how they will get back into the workforce will be another question, because another area that was affected is childcare. Childcare has gotten so expensive. And if a woman chooses to go to work, oftentimes it means that the family will be paying childcare. And, you know, the stories I've heard, a lot of people will say, daycare for my infant is more than my mortgage payment. It's like sending your kids to the University of Minnesota every single year. And so I just, you know, I'm a huge proponent in subsidizing childcare or having some kind of.
Oh, we just lost Mary. Sounds like we just lost Mary somehow. Why don't we take a quick break and see if we can get this back? She looks a little frozen. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're talking to State Representative Mary Kunish. We'll be right back.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yeah, Mary's struggling with a little internet connection at her house, so I thought we could relive yesterday and talk a little bit about what you guys
talk
went
about
through.
Nothing.
Do we have to relive it? I don't know if I want to relive it.
I know. It was
good.
It was a day. Robert, can I say something?
Yes.
I wanted to let our audience know that one of the advertisers on AM950 is Woodland Stoves and Fireplace.
Yeah.
And we took advantage of calling them a while back.
Because we heard about them on AM950.
Yeah, we heard about them on AM950. And we have a wood burning fireplace in our living room, and for the past 20 years I've wanted to have it switched over to gas, finally we just got that done. He left today for one piece that they had to do custom around the edge, but for the past, I don't know, how would you say, a couple of weeks, I've had the fireplace on every single night. I keep it on low, but I just love it. So Woodland Stoves and Fireplace, and they're at 2901 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, and they did a really fantastic job, I have to say. And it looks like we have Mary back.
Hey, all right, Mary, welcome back.
It took me, I don't know, I have, one of my neighbors is experiencing internet cable problems, so it runs across my sidewalk. And there's been a little girl out there riding her scooter, and I think she might have dislodged something. So this has been happening to me all day long.
Oh, my God.
You have to get a sign out in front of your house. No kids on scooters allowed.
You have to get a better cable company that's not from the 1980s, it sounds like.
You should see it. It's really jerry-rigged. So after this is over, I'm going to call them or send in a request for them to come out.
Well, we're a little angry over here. We can make a call for you.
Okay.
We got a little, yeah, definitely. Hey, so, I wanted to ask you there was a report that just came out about 5 teachers that have died in the state. Did you catch that report at all? From COVID, from going back to their classroom?
Oh, Mary's frozen. Mary, that is a beautiful shot right now. Honest to God. You know, sometimes when people are frozen on Zoom or whatever, it's really an awful. Oh, there you
are. There
you are
back. Okay.
I wanted to take a picture of it because it was such a nice shot. It really was.
Did you hear my question, Mary?
Yeah, I did hear about the five teachers that passed away from COVID from going back into the schools. You know, and it really breaks my heart, and it's hard for me to understand because we hear folks, you know, clamoring to get kids back into schools. They need to be back with their teachers. They need to be learning. This is too hard at home. But I don't think people are really thinking about the cost, the price that the teachers and the staff are putting themselves in. I mean, they're risking their lives, literally their lives, to go back. And just like we were talking earlier about women who have left the workforce and you know, trying to manage their families and long distance teaching, when they have children or they have children with asthma or have a disability, you know, it's just impossible to put yourself in that position of putting them in danger as well as yourself. And so when I hear legislators or other people say, oh, those teachers, they won't go back to work, blah, blah, blah. I mean, really and truly, they're putting their lives on the line. And again, not really getting the appreciation or the respect for the hard work that we do.
Yeah, that's right. I took an unpaid leave for 22 days until we got our second shot, and then we're going to go back. I'll go back after spring break.
Yeah, after April 8th, then Robert and I, it'll be 2 weeks after our second vaccine, so we'll feel a little bit, you know, better. But
shout out to Ho-Chunk Nation.
Yeah.
For vaccinating
us. We're getting our next vaccine, number two of the Moderna, on March 25th. So we're excited about that.
And I don't know if you know this, Mary, but Ogama got her second one yesterday, and she's a little drowsy today and sore.
Well, I'm scheduled for my first one on Tuesday, and then I'll have, you know, again, 2 weeks. And then they say it's 2 weeks to 19 days before you're, you know, in effect, not vulnerable to the virus. But I heard that second shot can really knock you on your keister. But then I also heard that the Johnson shot, that is just a one shot, maybe is not so good for Native folks. So, you know, again.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know too much about that, so I can't really comment on it. It looks like Mary's frozen. No.
Go ahead, Mary.
Nope. Yeah. I'm here. Okay. I'm just sitting still.
sitting there, so pretty.
You fake this out.
I'm playing possum.
Like, she's playing possum.
She's playing possum.
That's what she said. Wow. All right. Well, Wendy's going to take a picture of you.
Okay.
What else is going on? I mean, were you able to do any of the celebrations with Deb Holland? Because I know celebrations for Deb Holland. I know there was a bunch of things going around on the internet.
I did get on a Zoom call with about 120 some other Native women leaders around the nation to celebrate Deb just for a short time. But other than that, no, I didn't get to be there. You know, the first time I met her was I was out in Washington, D.C., and I got invited to the grand opening of the Native American Veterans Memorial at the Smithsonian Museum for the American Indian. And she was speaking, and I have, like, the most beautiful picture of her standing up at the podium speaking to the veterans. And, you know, the Native Americans make up, like, the largest group of veterans in our nation. They mm-hmm. have fought for this war. They have, you know, dropped their blood around the world for this country and this land, this Turtle Island that we live on. Mm-hmm. And I would love to get a veterans memorial at the Capitol as well, or somewhere that would recognize that.
Speaking of which, when you say memorials, did you see that that they're planning on putting Columbus back up? Did you see that?
Yes. I was waiting for you to bring that up. Natural segue into that. Yes, there is a piece of legislation that would mandate that the governor ensure that the statue is repaired and put back into place. And I don't really see that happening, even though, you know, I recognize that it's a memorial that our Italian immigrant Minnesotans put together as, in honor of their contribution to our state as immigrants. But we really have to educate people on the full story behind Columbus. And I got into a little bit of a tit for tat last summer around that within the Star Tribune and a couple of other people who, you know, of course, are saying that we just want to rewrite history and, take everything that's white away and replace it with all these people of color. And that's just a sad attitude to have. Before this, I was on a Zoom call with a bunch of high school and college kids talking about ethnic studies programs here in Minnesota. And that's exactly why we need to have programs, ethnic study programs, so that we understand the accurate history and not some of these, romanticized tales that have been passed down generation after generation that really don't tell the real story.
Right. I grew up with, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. I mean, what grade was that? I can't still forget that. It's kindergarten or,
Yeah. And remember learning the Nina, the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. I mean, it rolls up your tongue, but, let's learn, some of the things the horrific things that happened once Columbus stepped foot onto this continent to our indigenous people.
How can you help with passing bills? Because I know you're in the education portion of the Senate and committee, and I know I don't feel this way, but people talk that civics isn't being taught anymore, critical thinking isn't being taught anymore. What's your feeling on that? Because I feel like the school I'm at is that those things are being taught. But again, I'm in a school that is 80% minority.
Right. I do believe that those topics are being taught in our schools. They really are. In our social studies programs, government, all of those things really are being taught, but maybe not to the level of expertise that there are some that think we should be addressing those. We're going through a brand new social studies revitalization time where MDE, Minnesota Department of Education, has to review our current social studies curriculum and standards and review and revise them. So there was a preliminary example of what it would look like, and a lot of addition to our Native American history, the authentic, accurate history was in there. But unfortunately, there are legislators that went through and counted 58 mentions of Native American, but no mentions of Scandinavian or Norwegians or those sort of things. And so, people are fighting for their heritage.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, we could do a whole show on this, couldn't we? I mean,
yes.
I've just heard different stories I won't bring up now, but maybe I'll send you a link. But I've heard different stories why originally the Columbus statue was put up after the, and after the turn of the century. And it's just like if people knew and had critical thinking about the news, we'd be in a better place and there wouldn't be QAnon and things like that are floating around and just giving so much misinformation.
True.
Hey,
and
I want
each other. That's really all it takes.
Say that again?
I said, and just acceptance of each other. That's all it really takes.
Right on. It does. So thank you so much for being on. As You're one of our first celebrities that have been on our show, so we're always appreciative for you being here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that's State Senator Mary Kunish. We'll be right back with Wendy's Possum Stories. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. This show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. All right.
Olga sounded good, even though she's tired and got the COVID shot in her. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to say all things are our relatives, and what we do to everything we do to ourselves, all is one. Black Elk said that.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I really do. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And earlier when Mary was getting on, I was talking about possums. If you see it often... orphaned possum in a yard or somewhere, please bring it in and wrap it up and put it in a blanket. Mother possums, they have about 13 babies. They're marsupials, and marsupial means that, and you're going to ask me that question later, but I'll get to it right now. Marsupial means that they have a pouch. The females have a pouch. And sometimes when the babies get bigger, the babies come out of the pouch and they hold on to the mom's back, and they can't, you know, the mom carries all the babies on on her back. But if the mom gets startled or she gets scared and runs, one of the babies might fall off. The mom won't know. The mom doesn't know how many babies she
has.
Didn't
you already say that?
Yeah. Well, I'm just reiterating and coming back. So
which one do you want me to, okay. Number one, what should you do if you have an orphan possum in your yard, Wendy?
Well, here in Minnesota, what we have is the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Minnesota. They provide quality medical care and rehabilitation for all injured, sick, and orphaned wild animals. So you could call them at 651-486-9453. I'll give you the number again. It's 651-486-9453. 5-3, and they're on 2530 Dale Street North in Roseville. And we've brought some squirrels there in the past.
We brought a lot of things over there.
Yeah, and they do a really great job. So, they rehabilitate the animal and they release it. So,
hey, should I be afraid if I confront a possum about their behavior? Or can I get rabies?
So possums are not aggressive. Many people think that they are because they open their mouths really wide, and they hiss and they show their teeth. And it's just really a defense mechanism. And it's really a bluff so that they look vicious, but they're really not. Most of the time, if they are confronted, they'll just play dead. Possums do not carry rabies because their body temperature is lower than, you know, most other animals. So the rabies virus cannot live in their body. So they do not carry the virus.
Are they good or bad to have in your yard, Wendy?
Well, Robert, they're far from being a nuisance. Possums can be beneficial to your garden because they eat snails and slugs, insects, and all those things that kind of eat away at your garden. Sometimes they'll even eat small rodents. And they'll even clean up spilled garbage. And if you have like a fruit tree and fruit on the ground, they'll clean that up and eat that.
So, wow. Do possums make a good pet?
You know what? You're going to be really surprised to hear this, but possums have grown in popularity as an exotic pet. Could you believe that?
Well, when I hear exotic pet, that's not good, is it?
I don't know.
That's like a a lion or something.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They're very good pets for beginners because they're very clean and they generally have really good health. Possums are small. Generally, they're friendly creatures, right? Which they are.
That goes back to me confronting them on their behavior, if they're good or bad.
Right. Well, they're easy to care for. They don't have a lot of requirements. So,
can you potty train a possum? And I just got to say this too before you answer that. Mm-hmm. People think all over Turtle Island that I have great questions, but you wrote these questions down. I just want to say that.
It's like, I wrote Robert's questions
just
down,
like old days. It's
that's
like,
a confession.
You
know what? You can potty train a possum. Not only can it be housebroken, but you can train it to use the kitty litter pan. And apparently they learn really, really quickly because they're very smart animals and they're very clean and they just want to go and go to the bathroom in one particular spot. They don't go all over the place.
Well, I know possums don't live that long, and especially
we're going to talk about that in a second. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But you know what? They can be taught to come when you call them and even sit on your shoulder as you walk around.
Like a monkey possum. What the?
With a little patience and a calm demeanor, Robert, which you have, you can be able to have a tame possum.
I'm down.
I'm ready to get one. And guess how long they live?
Well, in captivity, probably 10 years. But I think when they're out in the freezing cold, only 2 to 3 at the most.
Yeah, in general, they live around 4 years. A possum will live around 4 years.
Enough.
It's not long at all, especially if you get attached to one and you have it all potty trained and everything and it lives in your house.
It's like having a like a hamster or something.
Right. Well, we had a possum in our backyard, and it was going to be getting very, very cold very quickly. So I went out and
built him a house.
I built him a heated house, and I covered it all up with old Christmas trees, and so it looked like a little hut.
Yeah.
And I wanted the possum to use it because it was heated, and I know that they get really bad frostbite because their body temperature is lower than other animals. They have no way to heat themselves when it gets really cold, so they get really bad frostbite, and they don't do well in the cold. But anyway, the possum did not go into this house.
How do you know that?
Well, because, Robert, you took a stick and put it in the house, and
you said
two mice ran out.
Oh, yeah. I didn't put a stick inside there. I just tapped it.
Oh, you tapped it?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I
tapped the house.
And these little black mice
came out. Well, at least somebody was using it, so that's fine with me. I don't care. Whoever needs to keep warm can go in there. I don't care if it was a mouse or a rat or whoever. It was intentionally made, though, for the possum.
Wow.
But anyway, if we see a baby possum orphaned, it may not be going to the rehabilitation center. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. And what would you name a possum?
Possum.
Okay. Come here, possum. Wow. Okay.
That's my fun Friday story.
Holcomb, I like that one. Jeez. Hey, are there any updates at the...
My partner wants a raccoon.
Well, those raccoons, we have one in the backyard. It's probably 30 pounds.
Yeah, it's a big raccoon.
And he looks like he's a little robbery where he has this little mask on. And
some people have them as pets as well.
Oh, so those nails must be.
Yeah.
They look like.
I saw a little video of one sitting in a kitchen table, sitting in the chair, eating grapes. It was the cutest little thing because it uses its thumbs and everything.
Yeah, well, if we had a raccoon, he'd lock us out of the house. So I don't think that's a good idea.
Well,
this has been an interesting week.
It has been an interesting week.
Yeah, and it's beautiful out, and you're beautiful, and Ogama, I hope you feel better for the weekend here because you deserve it. You work really hard for Native Roots Radio and our community,
mm-hmm.
And I know you do a lot of things, Ogama, that we don't talk about, but...
Yeah, I think you just need to really, like, rest this weekend and have Jace wait on you hand and foot.
Yeah.
We'll see if that happens. I'm not very good at that. I'm not very good at letting myself
be
cared for like that. I'm a do-it-yourselfer.
My next show is about affirmations and asking for help. that'll be the next theme. And hopefully you can come, Ogama, and listen.
Okay.
All right, hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to this show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We're the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.
Stop line 3.